Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live. It's Redneck and Eyes Radio live. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in to 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining in. And go check us out, redneckandeyes.com. You can follow us along there. We got our links to our social media accounts there, especially YouTube. Appreciate everybody. We're on YouTube live right now. Appreciate everybody doing that. And checking us out there, go check us out, redneckandeyes.com. We appreciate everybody subscribing to our YouTube channel, following along. You can also submit email, and we got a store over there. We got t-shirts, we got hats, we got stickers, all kinds of cool stuff. So go check us out, redneckandeyes.com. I want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that is Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. That's a great little outfit out of Denver, Colorado. I know several drivers that work for them over there. They say they're drop-dead busy all the time, so they do plenty of different things. They do the hazmat, specialized handling stuff, the different, the temperature control. They got lift gates. They got reefers. They do all kinds of different stuff. So, like I said, if you're thinking about making a switch over or you're looking for a place to go, check them out at Load to Ride Transportation. That's ltrtransportation.com, or you can give them a call at 720-277-0030. Appreciate everybody's support on that. So want to start off with some breaking news. Just check it out here on CDLLife.com. An article got shared here. It's Navistar recalls thousands of trucks for hot battery ground cable issue. It says Navistar recently recalled more than 8,000 trucks for a battery issue that could increase the risk of crash. And I'm like, battery issue, risk of crash? What are you talking about? So it's like, the Navistar recall affects certain 2018 to 2021 International Lone Star and 2016 to 2021 International LT vehicles. So according to National Highway Traffic Safety Administration documents, the cables that connect the batteries to the vehicle frame may become excessively hot and in some cases cause battery post-separation. Excessively hot battery ground cables may cause personal injury during battery maintenance repairs. In addition, a battery post that separates from the battery can result in the engine stall without warning, increasing the risk of crash. It says the recall affects a total of 8,483 trucks. Owner notification letters will be mailed on September 26, 2022. That's like more than a month away. And it's like they're just now announcing it. But it's like, oh, we're not going to send out the letters until the 26th of December. So don't worry about it. So if you're out there right now, I mean, who knows what's going on, right? But it says dealers will replace the alternator positive and ground cables and relocate the alternator ground to the starter free of charge. Truck owners with questions about the recall can contact Navistar's customer service at 1-800-448-7825. Navistar's number for this recall is 22516. And we'll definitely share this article over. In fact, we were just talking about it here. Let's see. Let me go ahead and copy this link, and we'll go into the comments for our YouTube channel and go ahead and put that right there so that so you can check out that article. And that article is there on CDLLife.com. Appreciate all their support over there. That's the hat I'm wearing. You guys see me on YouTube Live. This is from CDLLife.com. It's Veterans in Trucking. And they have a special little group over there where they deal with veterans handling issues in trucking, veteran truckers handling veterans issues, you know, vice versa, whatever you want to talk about over there. It's CDLLife.com. Appreciate all their support. And hopefully, you know, we'll grow and grow and grow with CDL Life. There, it seems to be a good little outfit over there. Got good people over there. That's just, you know, what it is. It's like, you know, you can either like the website or not like the website. I just think there's just good people. You know, I've talked with them several times dealing with truck show issues and everything. So it's just, you know, a lot of fun talking to good people over there. So check that out. But other than that, there was a big news today, I guess. You know, Joe Biden was on vacation. And we thought it was funny because he's like, hey, I'm not going to go on vacation. I've got a bill to sign. We're going to make some law and spend some money. So he comes back in and he signs the, what do they call it? Inflation Reduction Act, which is funny because a lot of people say it's not really that position. The funny thing is that when you ask the politicians, they don't even know. So let me get back over here. You guys think it's funny, you know, but it's true. Let me pull this up here and I'll show y'all. Here is a congressman, I think. Hang on. Can I see? Now it's a Democrat. I don't have the name pulled up yet to know who it is, but he's recording, getting interviewed. So, let me pull it up here and you'll see it on YouTube. And here it goes.
As soon as the act goes into effect, I know that those who've been blaming President Biden for the inflation going up are now giving President Biden all the credit for inflation going down. So we're moving things in the right direction already.
Yeah, and what parts of the bill do you think will quickly work on that specifically?
Next question.
Next question. I love that.
That's from the Andrew angle last night.
Inspiring a lot of confidence. So, that's it for us tonight. Remember, it's America.
So yeah, that's that was funny to me. He's like, next question. I don't know what you're talking about. So that's what goes on out there. You know, I mean, it's both sides. Let's just face it. Politicians, they don't know. The little staffers and minions in the Capitol, they're the ones that write all the bills. Those people, they're just out there double talking, you know, and everything. We know that. And I wish they would just, you know, I tell people all the time, the hardest thing for a politician to do is nothing. And they can just sit back and do nothing. The world will be a better place, really. I'm truthfully, honestly, come on, you know, we have a great military that is supposed to stomp out evil and we're not allowed to do that anymore. So, you know, that was pretty much the only thing that we were allowed to do back then. So yeah. Other than that, you know, we're just kicking back here. This is Redneck and I's Radio talking about all things on the road, trucking, a couple other things that there was an accident on Sunday out in California, a Tesla crossed over to the oncoming traffic and hit a big truck head on, killing four people. So we'll dive in an article about that. And then there was another thing. I watched the episode of Meet the Press on Sunday, and she's got a little neat little report about how the different voters vote differently based on who is college graduate and who's not. And I got offended a little bit by it. So I was going to go over that a little bit on the show. You know, if there's nothing else, talk about. So we'll do about that, you know, see how that goes. Let me see. Get everything moved over here like I was doing. And that's how you do it. So yeah, just give us a caller, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. This is Redneck and I's Radio Live. We're here every weekday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And check us out, redneckandeyes.com. We're also on YouTube Live right now. And go subscribe to YouTube channel. Appreciate that. So, like I said, Redneck and I's Live right here. Hang tight.
Sitting on the bar stool, acting like a darn fool. That's what I'ma do in the day. Sitting here drinking, trying to keep from thinking I'ma boozing my troubles away. Well, now I couldn't make her say, well, doggone her anyway. She can't say that I didn't try. Pour me another one, I'm finished. Feed the other one, I'm drinking my baby goodbye. Every time we disagree, she was always asking me, are you a man or a man? Now that she's gone, she probably thinks that I'm home, just a moping around the house.
probably thinks that she's the one thing I just couldn't get along without. Well, wouldn't it surprise her? I gotta sympathize her as long as these bottles hold out. Well, I'm sitting on the bar stool acting like a dirt fool. That's what I'm doing.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple. DPF Regeneration.
There once was a ship that put to sea. The name of the ship was a Bully of Tea. The winds blew up her bow, up down, oh, below my bully boys blow. Soon may the willowman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. She'd not been 2 weeks from shore when down on her a right whale bore. The captain called all hands and swore he'd take the whale in tow. Soon may the willowman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the...
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Nyes Radio. We're here live. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. We're part of blogtalkradio.com. If you want to go and listen to previous episodes on the audio side, you go on Blog Talk Radio, you search Redneck and Nyes, and that's where we got a channel on blogtalkradio.com. But we also do YouTube Live and sometimes Facebook Live. So, you know, you can catch different episodes on YouTube, Facebook, whatever. And like I said, go subscribe to all of our different platforms. We appreciate everybody doing that, especially YouTube. It's really growing, and we're really excited about it, and everybody seemed to be having a good time over there. So appreciate everybody's help doing that and getting that done. So before we go any further, I want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools. You can check them out at truckertools.com. Be part of the Trucker Tools app. We appreciate everybody doing that. And you can download the app from your app store, whether you've got an Android, iPhone. It's Trucker Tools. You can check out all the information about their app on their website, truckertools.com. And we just appreciate all their support of Redneck and Nyes. So, so great to have those guys with us. So I was, digging through some different, articles going on here about, what's going on in the trucking news. And one of the ones that really caught my attention was, just, you know, accidents. So there was an accident. Usually I don't like to get on these accidents, but you know, when we're dealing with certain things that are happening with, like, you know, self-driving trucks and self-driving cars and a lot of the technology out there with different systems, you think that these newer cars with these more fancier cars are supposed to be safer. That's what they keep telling us, that all these cars with all these computers are supposed to be safer. So here on CDLLife.com, it got posted today. It's four dead after Tesla goes into oncoming traffic, striking semi head-on, and it was on Sunday in California. It's the article here. Let me scroll down here, make sure we're not looking at anything different as far as... Okay, so we do have a tweet from the news, and a female driver, age 55, and one male and two female passengers were killed in the crash. All occupants were from Carmel Valley, according to CHP. It says three women... crash on Sunday night left four people dead after Tesla crashed in a tractor trailer. And there's an article on, let's click on this one here, and we'll get some more information on about that. But it's from a news, it's ON, Channel 46 news channel. And let's see here. We got a deal here. Let's see if we can go ahead and share. We'll play this. Move some stuff around. Go ahead and move it over here. And then do screen share. And here we go.
after a mother and her three children were killed in a car crash on Sunday evening. That deadly crash happened on Highway 156 near Fairview Road in Hollister. The Carmel Valley family was driving in a Tesla when it was hit head-on by a tractor trailer. At this time, authorities say that they're still actively combing through the details. We hear now this morning from witness to the crash and school officials. Veronica Macias has more. Showing you video of the accident from a distance out of respect for the family. The person taking this video in disbelief. Ramiro Rodriguez was just yards away when it happened.
I heard this big noise.
There we go.
And I looked that way and I saw a truck. And it was bumpy, you know. There's a lot of dirt. And I thought it had a flat tire or something.
Yeah.
I didn't put any attention to it. So I keep irrigating. Then like 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, I see this truck stop. And I see I went up there. It was a big accident.
Twins Lucy and Lee were in eighth grade. Their younger brother, Ben, in sixth. All three Biacanya children went to Carmel Middle School.
Man.
And today, students and staff are in mourning. Ted Knight is the superintendent for Carmel Unified.
Coming back this second week of school to this news this morning was certainly very tragic and was hard for a lot of staff and students to hear. Anytime we have a situation like this, we experience loss in our community. There's grief. We were able to sit our students down and our staff this morning and share with them the tragic news and also the resources that we have available for them.
The CHP is trying to figure out why
California
the Tesla they were in crossed into oncoming traffic on Highway 156 near Fairview Road. The Tesla hitting a tractor trailer at a high rate of speed. As the investigation continues into what went wrong,
see, it looks like it's just a two-lane or a.
To receive support from school officials.
But there's no median. It's just one big piece, one big road.
Students are in our wellness center.
From the videos you can
professionals.
See.
Others might have just needed a little quiet time, but certainly whatever.
Like I said, there's no grass median or ditch or anything.
We are here to support.
As Veronica Macias reporting there, CHP says that they're looking into the Tesla was being self-driven. It was actually a 2014 model, and the company started including self-driving technology to all their cars after October of 2014.
Okay. So, the article here doesn't really specify. Let's see, it says crash occurred shortly after 8 p.m. on August 14th in Hollister, California. According to CHP, the Tesla was eastbound on Highway 156 near Fairview when the vehicle veered into oncoming traffic, striking a semi-truck head-on. All four people inside the Tesla were killed in the crash. No other injuries were reported. The victims have been identified, and they just covered that. It was a woman and her children. And it says CHP is investigating whether the Tesla was in self-driving mode when the crash occurred. There's reports that a family member says that the Tesla was a 2014 model and was not equipped with self-driving capabilities. There you go. Okay, so we, you know, it's an older Tesla. So when they say Tesla, we automatically assume, you know, it's a new Tesla. But you know, come to find out, it's not. It's an older one. You know, this is one thing that draws attention to everybody. It's like, you know, they put in their Tesla and we automatically want to click on it and check it out and see what's going on, but. But what we see here is it's probably just somebody made a mistake. Somebody fell asleep. You know, they were probably taking a road trip. It was Sunday, going back home after probably a busy weekend. So, you know, those kind of things, that's what we have to watch out for. And that's what, you know, I feel really bad. I know a lot of truck drivers out there will feel it too, is I feel bad for the driver. You know, he didn't do anything wrong, but his truck, you know, was there and it caused harm to somebody like that he didn't mean to do that. I hope that they don't try to hold him any kind of responsible for anything, but you know what happens, you know, and like I said, it's really a sad situation because they'll check everything out on the driver, on the truck driver, making sure that he was doing, you know, I mean, really what's going to happen is if anybody out there says, oh, you know, he didn't do anything wrong, but now if anybody has any kind of say in it, they're going to check, make sure that that truck driver's logs were legit, that all of the bills were legit, because if they can prove that that driver was there illegally, they could say that he was responsible. I mean, it might not happen, but the chances are that it will. It might. So it's possible. So we want to just send our thoughts and prayers out to the family that lost loved ones. And I want to send a special prayer out there to that truck driver, because I know he's feeling a lot of pain about, you know, that happening in front of him with his vehicle being involved. And that's something that truck drivers just don't like. And we don't like seeing that. You know, we see crashes that we see on TV and the news, or you drive by them and you see them in the distance and everything. But I mean, that driver, you know, as far as we know, and more than likely, he was doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing, and then just boom, right in front of you. And it's just, it's not a good thing. So I think we got one of our good olds calling in here. What's going on, boss man?
Well, hey, I kind of miss hearing you. Last week I had my wife's sister brother pass away, and
okay.
And we were out trying to get him taken care of and all that. So I'm back out on the road again. A buddy of mine was telling me that, I don't know how long ago this happened, but one of these testing on these self-driving trucks. Did you see the YouTube video on that? I guess it was just freshly put up on YouTube. But it shows the video. Shows these two guys, one behind the wheel, one in the passenger seat, with clipboards monitoring the self-driving truck. And they're running down the middle lane, and a car passes them on the left-hand side. Well, something about the computers of that self-driving truck picked up on that passing car, and it veered off to the left, running the truck, two guys in the truck, into the brick wall in the middle.
Hmm.
And that's all up on YouTube somewhere.
Let's see here. Maybe I can pull it up. First ever. No,
but they were monitoring it, and by the time they could get control of the vehicle, the semi-truck had hit the center cement wall.
Of course, you know, the problem is you just put on Google, and Google's not going to show you, you know, they do the thing where they, if that came up on the internet, self-driving truck company responds to dash cam video. You know, let's see what this one is right here. Okay, so on CDLLife.com, this was back on the 1st, so self-driving truck company responds to dash cam video of semi crashing into median. Autonomous truck company, technology company Too Simple, recently issued a statement on a crash involving one of their vehicles that happened earlier this year. It says on July 26th, issued a public statement in apparent response to the dash cam video shared the popular YouTube channel Asian May show. Says shared a video, whistleblower knowledge, Too Simple, the video, two human operators inside the autonomous truck as the vehicle suddenly veers from the middle lane across to the far left lane, crashing into the median. So let's I don't know if this is, yeah, that's not the video. Let me see if I can pull it up here and get the video. Okay, here's the video, and I can pull it over here and slide it over to this side, and then do my screen sharing on YouTube, and we can play it right here. So yeah, you know what? I think I've seen this. I'm not even real sure.
Before we get into this video,
like it almost hit a pickup truck. A pickup truck passes on the left, and it almost hits that.
That's what he said.
Yeah, and it's a.
Whoa. So is it American-made video? Is it something in Japan?
No. The show, what we're talking about here, it's a. Where's it at? Pull it up here so I can pull it up. There's a guy, he does a show. And it's a mother trucker news, and it's a guy.
Okay.
I don't know where he's based out of. I can pull up his channel right here, and we'll show his channel.
Is there money in trucking?
And it's the Asian May Show, official trucking channel, and I'm not real sure where he's based out of. Yeah, out of Florida, and he does videos like we do videos. So yeah. See, small world. That's what it boils down
to.
But yeah, it's this guy here. So it looks like that they're. I don't know exactly where it shows they're at, but I mean, it says it happened on April 6th. A human error occurred when two operators of the two simple vehicle incorrectly reengaged the autonomous driving mode without completing all the steps necessary for safely reengaging, resulting in the truck scraping the median. Fortunately, no one was injured. There was no property damage. So my question is are these two guys college graduates? Because if they are, then they need to go get their degrees back, because I thought that the college graduate people were supposed to be smarter, you know? But
they're the ones monitoring that truck. So
exactly, yeah. And so one guy, he's sitting in there, he's holding the wheel. The other guy's in the passenger seat with the clipboard. And I mean, it doesn't really seem like they're doing anything. Like as far as like, you know, okay, yeah. You see him. He hits a switch. So you see the driver holding the wheel and then reaching to the dash. And he's like reaching toward the dash, and as he hits the dash, all of a sudden the truck jerks. So he might have done something incorrectly there. But you know, that was the thing we were talking about before, when we were talking about, you know, where the trucking jobs are going to go to. And it's like, well, the driver is going to be sitting there, like you're going to have a CDL, and you're going to be said, okay, you're going to be living in Dallas. You're going to be at the terminal. The self-driving truck is going to come in. It's going to stop, and then you're going to have to do all the fueling and the checking and all the extra stuff, and then you just go in there, and once you're done, hit a little button, and the truck's going to start driving again by itself, and it's going to leave the yard, you know.
So there's no guarantee that you got to have a CDL to operate a truck like that.
In the future, yeah, but the other thing, too, is talking about, well, it's just like ASE, Certified Mechanics. I mean, what they're going to require, you would think that the government would require that, you know, if you're going to have a person, if you're going to pay a person to refuel the truck and to make sure that it's ready to go on the road, then that driver, that person needs to be capable of looking at a tire and telling whether or not that tire's good, looking at the truck, making sure everything works, checking the oil, because the computer can't check that stuff, you know.
But
so,
well, the computer can check oil levels, because you can buy kits now
for the
dummies that has an electronic digital dipstick to tell you how much oil's in your engine.
Yep.
So here's the question. Our government, knowing our government as it is today, are they going to require a CDL to operate a autonomous truck? Are they going to require a computer programmer to drive a autonomous truck?
Well, yeah, that's
a normal truck driver.
Yeah,
won't know how to use the computer side of it, but the computer guru won't know how to run the truck side of it.
Right. So what it's going to boil down to, what it sounds like to me, what we're looking at is software engineers that are trained to do a CDL, because let's face it, it's not that hard to get to learn how to drive a truck. They just need to learn.
So you're going to have a major in electronics and computer programming and a minor in CDL.
That's it. Yeah. And, but then again, also you're looking at, you know, people that probably don't really care about the trucking side of it. You know, they're more involved in the computer side of it. So they're like, you know, well, I don't really know about all this trucking stuff, but I can tell you the software works. You know, that's what they're going to say. Just like here, that, you know, human error. And it's like, the software works. The software is great. Don't doubt the software. The humans messed up. And it's like, okay, well,
yeah,
you know, we're trying, you guys are trying to eliminate human error. And again, your truck wrecked because of human error. So where's the elimination of the human error? Because I thought that's what your computer was supposed to do. You know, it's kind of like when they invented computers to eliminate paperwork, and we've got more paperwork than we've ever had before. You know, it's like, so where it was the goal here? Why did we do that? Why did we create computers if we're just going to, you know, keep having paperwork? So.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I didn't know.
You would think there's a button on there, like an airplane, that would have a cover over it, say, don't do this unless absolutely necessary.
You know, and do like it's, yeah, you would think. And they probably, I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. I would have liked to have seen more explanation. You know, they're going to have to put out a YouTube video explaining exactly what they did wrong to me. That's what I see. But
well, maybe on these autonomous trucks and self-driving cars, they ought to put on a gizmo like a motorcycle has, called a kill switch. Called the kill switch.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, motorcycle industry's had that right for years. And you're panicking, hit the kill switch.
Well, but it still won't, you know, all that does is kill the engine, you know. So other than that, you know, you're still going down the road. So, you know, the only
That's
thing
why
I could
I always thought kill switches on motorcycles are kind of silly. Well,
yeah. If you ask anybody, the kill switch is the clutch. Whenever in doubt, engage the clutch. That way your engine is disengaged and you can maneuver or brake as long as you know out of gear. Just like in a truck, in a big truck, you're always told to leave it in gear. Don't coast, because then you'll
right.
You know, because you're relying on the gears to slow you down. In a motorcycle, it's like you don't want the engine to engage.
If you hit the kill switch on a motorcycle, it acts like a Jake brake to slow you down.
Exactly. Yep. You see that all the time when you're sitting at a light on the bike and you release the clutch too fast and the bike dies. It'll try to go, but then the engine dies and it won't go any further. So, you know, yeah, you'll see that a lot. But, yeah, you know, the way – I don't know what you're going to do with all these computers. You know, I don't know if I told you, but my company, we switched over. We've got tablets now instead of Qualcomms. So we have actually little tablets that we can actually take with us. Like we can pull them out of the truck and put them in our pocket, or it's a tablet.
Yeah.
But like if you've got cargo pants, like so what they did was is that so we've got uniforms, and the uniform company has started selling us these cargo pants that were really nice and comfortable and everything. And the cargo pants is the pocket on the right side is big enough to hold that tablet. So now we can take that tablet out of the truck and put it in our pocket, and it's supposed to be like we're going to be like UPS, where we're going to take the tablet in, have the customer sign it for the deliveries and all that, and we're not going to have to worry about, you know, paperwork anymore. We're trying to go paperless.
Yeah.
But we haven't done that yet because they haven't got the software. But it's apps. We've got an OmniTrax app that does our logbooks, and then we've got another app that does all of our dispatching. And you know, we've got a camera on there, so we could take pictures of the bill of ladings and all that stuff right there on the tablet that's communicating directly to the company. And let me tell you something, truck drivers and tablets don't get along. So when you're talking about needing a software engineering degree in order to drive an autonomous truck, well, truck drivers can't even work the tablets and Qualcomms that are already in the trucks now. So, you know.
Yeah, I switched over my ELD and my DriveWise by scale bypass system is all on my tab.
Okay.
And I switched over to Apple because DriveWise and all these app related stuff seems to work better with an Apple than it does an Android.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Don't know why, but it seems to.
Yep. So what we're finding out about apps, what I learned, and I don't know if you remember, you know, we were working with Trucker Tools very closely during the Louisville Truck Show there, and we had a couple of seminars, and a lot of questions were directed to the Trucker Tools people about the app working and how it works and doesn't work and doesn't do this and can do that and all that. And a lot of the problems were from the Android devices. And so I just kind of clicked in that what I was told by these app manufacturers and creators is that Apple is one of those where everything's the same. Every phone, every iPhone is the same. There's no – the software in the iPhone is all the same. So when you make an app for the iPhone, it is one app. Problem is when you have these different devices for Android, like different companies make different phones. Google has an Android phone.
Well,
Samsung, they have to make
different
versions apps for all the different versions. Yeah.
Different phones have different versions, and some phone companies don't update their versions as quick as other ones do.
Yeah.
So you may have a Jelly Bean working on one Android and King Kong Super on another one.
Exactly. So that's what happens is a lot of the apps, the app creators that I was talking to back in, it was a while back, I forgot who it was, but it was, they have to make like five or six different apps for the Android devices, and they just have to make one app for iPhone. And that way, everything they update goes into that one app. And when they update for an Android, they have to update all the five different apps. So, it's a little harder to make apps for Android just like that. But it also, it's harder to get your app onto an iPhone because they're so strict. So it's like when you make the app, that you send it to them and they go over it and they're like, nah, it ain't working right. Redo it. So it's kind of like Apple kind of works a little harder to make sure their apps work. They're not going to allow apps on their phone that don't work. So, yeah.
Well, I know in some states I could be 2 miles away from a scale house and already get to have a bypass on my Apple.
Hmm. That's pretty cool.
It's amazing.
Yes.
So that means I don't have to slow down at all. I can stay in the left lane when everybody else is in the right lane slowing down because they know a scale's ahead. And I said, oh, I already got my bypass. I don't have to.
Yeah.
So
when they tell you up ahead, they go, there's a scanner up ahead, all trucks in the right lane. You don't have to do that.
No. All right. Cool. Got my bypass. I'm in the left lane.
Yeah.
Especially that one around Knoxville, Tennessee, because that big hill, and got all the truck stops there.
Yep.
And shoot, by the time I hit the off ramp for the truck stop, so I got my bypass already for the scale ahead of me.
That's awesome. Yep. So when I was over at the Houston Truck Show, you know what was a lot there that I seen that was really surprising to me is there was a lot of different software manufacturers that were making, they had the bypass technology or they had the e-logs or they had dispatch technology. I bet you over half of the booths there were selling some type of technology to put in trucks for, any, whatever service they were looking for, whether it be e-logs, dispatching, or any kind of bypass or tolls or stuff like that, is they were selling that technology to put in, whether it was to put in a tablet or a cell phone or whatever.
You can see that in the truck stops now.
Yeah.
You've got different versions of Garmin GPS. They got different price points on them based on what memory capacity they got in them because they have all these apps. You got to have a big memory.
Yep.
And the size of the tablet. So now Garmin is making a big push to try to get everything rolled into their GPS/tablet and do away with needing, like I got my Garmin and my tablet beside each other in a truck. So if you could get one, like your GPS tablet to do everything and eliminate one tablet, you're better off. Maybe.
Right.
I just as soon sell, if I'm going to run an ELD, I just soon have that, kind of proprietary software on one thing. So if the one machine screws up, I guess we're on private radio. You ain't relying on one device that way. So
gotcha.
I just wish they'd all get with Google and everything.
Google.
Intelligence system.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Because
so,
Google would come out with a trucker version map, you'd eliminate Rand McNally and Garmin.
You know, you would think, so here's the funny thing, is that, so they sent people down to our facility here to train us on these tablets. And what I noticed is they're allowing the drivers that need directions and how to find customers and stuff, they put Google Maps into the devices, into these tablets.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like, well, that's kind of, I mean, why would you let, why, I mean, I know, but how many drivers don't know that that's not truck route specific, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you're running a straight box truck, you know, that's shorter than a semi truck, you know, then Google Maps would be okay.
Right.
Different underpasses in Chicago, you get yourself in trouble in a hurry.
Yeah. Well, we already, we did a video on that. We were doing a YouTube, you know, I was doing the radio show, and one of the news articles that came up was there's a low bridge on this road that trucks keep hitting, and it's because Amazon built a brand new warehouse over there near what's it called, Syracuse, New York. And when you plug it in, when you plug in the route to take you from the interstate over to the warehouse, it tells you to go on this road. Well, that road has a bridge that's only 11 foot tall, and
the
truck keep hitting it. Yeah. So
they were hit. They're actually hitting it, huh?
Well, oh yeah.
I guess it could go that way.
Well, a couple of trucks have hit it. Like I think they said four so far this year, which that's a lot. But also they've shared video. There was video of like these huge, you know, they got Amazon trailers, 53-foot Amazon trailers being pulled by Volvos or whatever, and they're making U-turns because it's a big four-lane highway that's connected. You know, it's all together, and they're just making a big U-turn because they see the bridge, and there's all kind of signs and flashing lights, and they make a big U-turn. I was like, well, that's even worse. It's like, you know, so, but there's, the funny thing is there's signs on the interstate that says, you know, this exit, no trucks. And they exit anyway because it's, well, I mean, that's where the GPS says to take it to the delivery. But really what it is, you're supposed to do is go up to the loop and get on the loop. And then because if you looked at the map, and I looked at it, and we shared it on YouTube, where you're going up, you're going like north. Or you're going like east on 80 or whatever it is, I forget, or the it was the thruway right there in Syracuse. And if you took the first exit, that would take you through the low bridge, and then you would actually go under the loop to go to Amazon. But if you just went up another mile and a half to the loop, then it would take you over to where the exit is, to where the Amazon warehouse is. So it's really easy. It's just that there's an exit about a mile and a half before the loop that says, here, cut through this way. It's shorter. And it's like, yeah, that's a low bridge. Don't go that way. And it's railroad. Wow. So, you know, the bridge ain't moving because it's a railroad track.
I just had another shipper today, Great Dane trailer out of Wayne, Nebraska. Tell me, he says, yeah. He says, you won't believe some of the drivers that are coming in to pick up trailers.
Really?
He goes, I had another one this week that hooked up, backed into the trailer, and got ready to pull out. And he said, the trailer brakes. Why are the trailer brakes dragging? I can't go forward. Why? And the guy said, I had to go out and say, well, these two air lines on the back of your tractor need to be connected to the trailer.
I tell you what.
If there's drivers on the road that don't know, when you pull a trailer, you got to hook your airlines up, it wouldn't surprise me that they would turn and go under 11-foot bridges.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not only that, I bet you that there's probably drivers that hook up the airlines, and then, I got the airlines hooked up. Why won't it go? Well, see, this one's red, and this one's blue, and this one over here.
There you go.
Got, Yeah, you know, they don't even know that. So yeah.
He says he says you can't believe the number. He says, you know, and they're mostly all foreign people. He says, you know, I can't blame any person from another country wanting to come to America and get a job. And with the push they got to get truck drivers on the road,
yeah.
I says, yeah, but you know, Wayne, Nebraska is in the middle of Nebraska, which is in the middle of the United States. You would think they know some basic trucking to get that far, you know?
You would think.
But he says, I've had them come, because I made a comment that it says now on the door that no paper signage on the, you know, you can't put XYZ truck company and the DOT number. That can't be just taped on the side of a tractor to pick up a trailer there anymore. Mm-hmm. I says, you've had some problems. He goes, oh, my God. He goes, we've had guys come in that this wasn't the yard they were supposed to pick up in, and they're trying to take a trailer. He says, as the guard ain't on, you know, point. He says, people leave with trailers that don't even know where they're taking them to.
Right.
Brand new trailers.
Man.
You know? So I thought, wow. You know, we talk about all these self-driving trucks and all the things, you know, idiotic things that happen on the road, but then you go to the shippers like that, new trailer manufacturers, and you hear the stories that they get with truck drivers that don't even, well, he says that we've had them before that you ask for a driver's license and they have no idea what you're talking about. They don't even have one.
Yeah. They don't even have, like I said, and even if they had a CDL, you probably even ask them for any kind of other paperwork. I mean, I remember, you know, when students would come into Swift, they didn't know what permits were. They never got shown that stuff. That's like, so where's your physical? What's that? What's a physical? You know, and this was back
right.
in the day where you actually had to have a card for the physical, you know. I mean, just imagine
right.
if it was still back in the day. Remember back in the day where you had to have an air brake card? Remember that, where you had to have a card that was authorized you to work on air brakes? I remember,
right.
remember that. Went around there for a while. Imagine those guys.
Well, and that's just, you know, that's just it. Trucking has become easy.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, you had to know how to shift. You know, back in the day, Werner made you double shift.
Yep.
Well, now, if you know how to turn the key and hit the D, it goes forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's all you need to know.
Yep. Yep. I mean, where I work, some of the trucks, the hoods won't open. Because you know how Volvo hood is like a latch, like it's like a car where you got to pull the latch from in, and it broke. And you tell them, hey, it's broke. Uh-huh. Can't get the hood open. They're like, I don't worry about it.
Wow. So yeah. They don't even encourage pre-tripping then.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so that truck should be down. It should be sitting over there waiting for somebody to fix that. Because, like you
well,
say,
yeah.
the pre-trip cannot be performed. So, you know.
No, I need a pre-trip with the hood closed.
Exactly. Yep. So I would write an email to Volvo telling Volvo right now, stop making your hoods like that. You know, at least Freightliner doesn't do it and all these other companies where they still make it where the hood actually latches to the sides to where you can open it without any kind of mechanical, you know, confusion where you don't have to worry about it. I mean, like even the old days or the bigger hoods that need some kind of spring tension on them to get them to open, even that, you know, if that breaks, if you could open it, but you can't close it, you know, that kind of thing. So, and it's like, well, I'd rather get it open, be able to get it closed, because I mean, you know, at least I could fix it.
Hey, I want to change the subject a little bit. I heard you had a new caller last night.
Yeah, we did. Well, he's a longtime listener. He follows us on YouTube, And we were talking about, there was a news report about people protesting outside the port in Baltimore. Well, he works for the port out there in Virginia, in Norfolk and Portsmouth. So he called in. He said, I've been over there, and I know what you're talking about, and I appreciate you guys talking about it. So yeah, having a lot of fun, you know, getting the word out. It's happening, you know.
Well,
he's got to keep it
on. Holly got the word out, I guess, quite a bit at Walcott, and we got a few more trucks on the road with Redneck and Eyes on the side and redneckandeyes.com. And so,
I was going to see. I didn't know exactly what kind of truck she had, but when I talked about the recall earlier about the Navistar recall, maybe she needs to check into that.
She's got a Lone Star, so. Yeah, maybe that would explain the problems she's been having.
Okay, see, so there you go. Never know. I thought it was funny that said that, okay, so they announced that there's a recall, but they're not going to send the letters out till September
26th. That's what I heard you say. Well, then they said it could cause accidents. I'm going, here we go, here again. Driver stupidity, if you're driving down the road, and your engine quits running, what do you do? Put the clutch in or put it in neutral and go to the side of the road. Why would that cause an accident?
Right. I mean, as long as you've got air, you should be able to stop. So it's not like you're not going to be able to stop, because, you know, if you've got air to be able to stop, but then if you lose air, the truck should stop.
I mean, if you lose air by your engine running that quick, then you did a piss-poor job of pre-tripping.
Yeah.
Because that's part of the pre-trip, knowing that you could build up air in your tanks and that it will hold air in your tanks. So if your engine's shutting off and you're out of air right away, you didn't do a proper pre-trip to start with.
Right. Well, I mean, I'll just say this. Maybe if you're a truck driver that has a major degree in computer engineering, then you might need to worry about the truck crashing, you know, because apparently that happened.
Sounds like Jeff Foxworthy could write a whole new series of jokes. You might be a redneck, or Bill Engvall could say, if your truck quits running and you're out of air, you've got other problems, starting with your pre-trip. Here's your sign.
Yeah. Well, no,
you
I
know,
mean,
my
just that
God.
That article right there, they submit a report saying this could cause a crash. Okay, we'll send out the letters in another month from now. Here's your sign. You know?
Right. Let's see how many accidents we could cause before the letters go out.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Well, that'll do it right there. That sounds like a good show today, too. Going to put another one in the books.
Oh, we're up against the clock, are we?
Yeah, we've got about 6 minutes
All
left.
Right.
Yep. Having a good day today.
I haven't called in for a while, but I enjoyed talking to you. Good talking to you again.
Good deal. Yep. Yeah, I'll be Tip will be on tomorrow, and all things should go there. We've got Women in Redneck and Ice for tomorrow evening. And then I'll be back Thursday, so just rocking and rolling.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Yep. You too, bud. Good calling you. Good talking to you. All right, thank you now.
You bet. Bye-bye.
All right, good deal. Oh, there we go. All right, cool deal. Well, yeah, but we're just rocking along here. I think we'll go ahead and start the process. Nope, that's not it. Hold on. Get all my technical stuff back working again. When I sit here and talk for a while, then my technical stuff starts breaking up. So we got to get things going again. There we go. So yeah, Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're coming to an end to another great show. Everybody, thanks everybody for calling in, listening along, and thanks everybody for watching us on YouTube Live. And please go subscribe if you haven't already. Appreciate everybody doing that. YouTube channel has been growing great, and we appreciate everybody doing that for us and watching our videos and sharing and commenting and everything. We appreciate everybody doing that. And like I said, this is Redneck and Eyes Radio Live. We're here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. And I want to thank all of our great sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com, Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com, and also Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app. You can download their app from their app stores on your cell phone, or you can check them out at truckertools.com. Appreciate all their support for Redneckinized and Redneckinized Radio. So go check us out, redneckinized.com, and don't forget to go subscribe to YouTube channel, like I said before. And this is blogtalkradio.com and Redneckinized Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. Redneckinized Radio live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 515-602-9731. So until next time, you guys stay safe, stay successful, and we'll see you out there on the road. Redneckinized Radio. Thank you now.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneckinized was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckinized.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got to redneckinize.